Yes.
Hey, Maria.
Hi. Is that Andy?
It is indeed.
Oh.
Hey, Maria.
Hello. Hey, Jessica. Amy. Oh, good. We're all here.
Hi, Maria. It's Jonathan.
Jonathan's on the line, too. Good boy. All right. Love it. Love it. It's just about, I think, 5 o'clock right now, so we always kind of give it that little few seconds of leeway with people trying to dial in, things like that. I've already had a few people text me tonight asking for the number, which is fine.
This is Carol Pelletier from Auburn.
Oh, wonderful. Welcome. Welcome. I'm really hoping we have a lot of callers on tonight. We had quite the buzz going on Facebook, and Wayne created an event today. Thank you, Wayne. I think you're on the call, too.
Thank you, Wayne.
Hi, this is Rob.
Cool. All right.
Hi, this is Paul Walker from Columbus, Ohio, a new person.
Hi, Paul. Welcome. This is Maria. Welcome to the call. Glad you're joining us tonight. We're going to get started in about 30 seconds.
Hello, this is Jack Tyrrell here from Melbourne, Australia.
Oh, Jack, welcome. Thank you for calling
Hi,
in.
Yes.
Hello.
12 o'clock here in Australia.
Yeah. So my son's over, and my son's in Sydney right now.
Is he? Oh, that's
yes.
Great. He's having a good time.
Yeah. Oh, he's loving it. Absolutely loving it. He is.
Yeah. No, I've just been Gold Coast for a week, so I'm sure he might have dropped in there.
He went up the east coast of the up to Cairns and down, and anyway, he's been gone for 3 weeks. He's just having a great time.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. That's yeah.
Great. So what time is it?
It's 5:03. So I think we're going to get started on our call. People will probably be kind of chiming in with their dial-ins for the first couple of minutes. But we won't want to keep you. We like to start on time, and we like to end on time. So I'll start over. My name is Maria Johnson, and this is LHON Live. It's our monthly conference call for the LHON community. We invite everybody anybody to be on the call, whether you're a carrier, affected, or maybe just know somebody with LHON. This call is always done along with my co-hosts who are on the line, which is Jessica Loomer. Say, hey, Jessica, check in.
Hello.
Jessica.
Hi, everyone.
And Andy, say hello.
Hey, everybody.
And Andy. And we, the three of us, along with help from Lissa, started this call a couple of months ago, and it's been growing. It's still in its creation stage. We started this call a few months ago because the idea came up after the last conference in 2014 where so many of us met, and we thought it would be a good way to keep to get a connection made between the LHON community, something more than Facebook, you know, a voice and a way to connect people other than just typing out messages. The call is something we bring different topics to that would be of interest or helpful to anybody in the community. We like to keep the call positive and encouraging so that when we're done with the call, we hope that everyone walks away from the call feeling good, feeling like they have something to take away from the call that might help them. And whatever stage they're in their LHON journey. And again, if you've been affected for 30 years or affected for 3 months, you know, we hope that people will get on the call and participate. And that brings me to a couple of just little ground rules we have on the call, which is anybody can participate, and we do encourage you to call to talk if you want. We also encourage you to listen, and you never have to say anything. Listening is just as important. The other thing is the things we will not get into is politics, religion, and medication, supplements, medical advice. Those are all things that we've just came to agreement when we started this call would not be discussed, here because they're, you know, it's too much debate and opinion on those things. So what I want to let you all know, though, while we're speaking or we're our guest speaker is speaking, we'd like you to be on mute on your phones. And the way you can mute is pressing star 6, I believe. And then if you want to speak, you would press star 7. And the reason we ask that is because, you know, we really don't want to hear, you know, your dogs barking and your kids crying and, you know, stuff like that. But anyway, it just kind of keeps it a little more quiet so we can hear people speaking who are on the call. So with that all being said, tonight's call, we are kicking off January with our goals and plans for 2015. And you know, you've seen the corny videos that I've put out there, and that we all have maybe things we want to do that maybe we haven't done for one reason or another. Or maybe there's goals that you had that you dropped along the way because you didn't think you could do them. But maybe now you think you might be able to do them. I know that some of us have hesitations and fears because of LHON, whether you're a carrier or affected, that might hold us back from some of the things that we wanted to continue doing or try and do as something that you didn't think you could do. So we want to keep this positive. We want to motivate. We want to encourage. But most importantly tonight, we want to hear from you all, the LHON community, and we want to hear what are the exciting things you all have planned for 2015. And as I said in one of my videos, it could be better improve your health and how you're going to go about that. It could be learning a new skill, volunteering at a school, a blind center. It could be anything. And big or small, or as I said, it could be scary. And sometimes goals and plans should be a little scary because that makes them even bigger and sweeter when you achieve them. So to kick off tonight's call, we have a really great guest speaker. And you saw he posted on the Facebook page. It's John Dater. John is currently living here in San Diego, which is where I live, so lucky me. And he is finishing his schooling here at UCSD, and he is doing his, I hope I say this right, postdoctoral fellowship at UCSD, and he will graduate officially in June, and he will be proceeding into his field of psychology. Jonathan spoke at last year's LHON conference, so if you were there or you've seen the video clip, you have seen him speak. And he is here tonight as our guest speaker, and he's going to tell us a little bit about his journey and where he is today and how he got there. So, John, you go ahead and take it away.
Thank you. Well, you know, before I even get started, I'm just excited to be here. I think it's great to be on the call. I haven't had the chance to join in on one of these yet, and so this is fantastic just to be a part of this. And I'm really looking forward to some of the discussion in a few minutes once I'm done speaking and sharing my story a little bit. So I think, you know, as we've seen on the Facebook page and as we've seen, you know, through some of these conferences over the last couple years, it just shows how powerful this community is and how close people have become. And, you know, I'll talk about this a bit in a few minutes, but just how much LHON has sort of derailed us in our lives, but at the same time really brought this community of people together that otherwise may have never known each other. And I think that's probably the one silver lining in all of this is the connections that have been made, and they're really powerful ones. So I really wanted to stress that and just thank you all for your time and for listening to me for the next couple minutes. So, you know, just to share my story, I think, you know, I was born in Costa Rica. I was adopted as a baby, and so I grew up in Connecticut, about an hour north of New York City in the United States. Could not ask for a more typical childhood. I was very fortunate in life, had very supportive parents, supportive family, very great friends, and did everything and reached every milestone that a person typically would growing up in this society and culture, which is, you know, going through school and turning 16 and getting that driver's license and all the independence and excitement that comes with that. And then all of a sudden, there you are at 20 years old and everything changes. And that's when I became affected at the age of 20. And like some of you probably could share as well, I remember the exact day it happened. Interesting about me is that growing up, any time I exercised or did any type of physical activity, I would see blurry while I was doing it or afterwards. And so I remember on April 26th of 2003 seeing blurry after playing basketball with friends and assuming that would just go away because it always did. Maybe taking a shower once I got home or washing my face, that usually did the trick, and the blurry vision would go away. And so this just sort of became something that was normal to me. And so when I drove home that day, it was definitely a little difficult to get home, but I took a shower, went to bed, and the next day I had a presentation for school. And at this presentation, I had index cards, and I'm standing in front of the class, and I'm realizing, uh-oh, this didn't go away, and something's worse. I can't see some of the letters on every word. And so there were letters missing. I was seeing half of words, and I was just stumbling and stuttering and recognizing midway through that this is going to be the worst presentation I've ever given. And so, and that's pretty much what it was. It was a disaster. And so I went up to the professor afterwards, and I said, I don't know what happened. I was a sophomore in college at the time, and this was a communications class, and you probably couldn't have communicated more ineffectively than I did during that presentation. And, you know, I just started, you know, testing myself all the time for the next couple days because it was getting worse every day, little by little, as I'm sure you guys are aware happens, where I would, you know, I would drive by the road and see, there used to be a sign there that said how many miles an hour you're supposed to go, and I don't see the sign on the side of the road anymore. What's that about? Or, you know, I missed the curb driving home. What is going on here? I'm growing up in the northeastern part of the United States. April is typically the time of year where it's allergy season. And so I thought, well, maybe I've just got really bad allergies this year and they're affecting my vision. And after a week, that wasn't the case. So finally, you know, made an appointment with the local eye doctor and said, let me just figure this out. Let me get glasses. That must be what I need. And let's get this over with. And, you know, my eye doctor looked at me for maybe 5 or 10 minutes, and he said, are you driving home? And I said to him, yes, I am. And he said, okay, well, do that. He said, drive home, and I'm going to call you in about a half an hour. And so I thought this was the strangest appointment I'd ever been to. I was hoping for glasses, even more so hoping for contacts maybe. And I drive home, and I get the phone call from him a little while later saying, you know, I think you have something called LHON. I think it's an optic nerve disease. I think that's what you have, but, you know, I'm not a neuro-ophthalmologist. I can't make that kind of diagnosis, and you have to go for a test to find out. And we don't have that type of testing equipment here. We can't give you a blood test here. You'd have to go down to New York City for that. And so this was just sort of like, no way. He's got to be wrong. And when I did go down for the appointment in New York, and I talked about this a little bit during my presentation at the LHON conference, I was just shocked by the bedside manner of the doctor there during my appointment, the neuro-ophthalmologist there, who flat out said, you know, you're going to take that blood test, but I already know you have it. I could just tell by looking at you, and please don't ask me any questions about how this is going to get fixed, or surgeries, you know, you have it and there's nothing you can do about it, you're going to go blind. And it was just this moment of, oh my God, this is like, this can't be. I was adopted. I figured, what are the odds of having a genetic disease and being adopted and not knowing about it? There were just all these things that were sort of like, all these no ways in my head, or what are the odds in my head? And as we all know, the odds are pretty low. And so, you know, I think once it was confirmed, it was just sort of this there was this moment in life where you sort of say to yourself, well, what's going to happen to me in my life? Am I now not going to be able to do anything that the person typically does? As I started off talking a few minutes ago, life up to that point had been doing what a person typically does, going through school, making friends, driving a car, getting a license, going to college. Now it became, uh-oh, all the stuff that happens after you're 20, is that going to be possible? Is it going to be possible to form a relationship with someone? Is it going to be possible to have children? Is it going to be possible to get a job? Is it going to be possible to even finish school, let alone get a job? And so I think basically it became, okay, it's push or shove, and maybe that's what I needed at that time in my life, was to, you know, really get motivated. And I decided to stay in school and try my best to work through it. And, you know, a lot of people said to me, you know, it's unfortunate that this happened to you now. You could have already had a career. You could have already had a job, and you wouldn't have had to go through school. And I thought about that, and I agreed with it. But I think there's pros and cons to both, and I think some of the pros were, and still are, okay, well, this happened at a good time because now I can sort of figure out what can I do with my life that involves having low vision. And that became, like, my process, and deciding to go into psychology because I took a few courses that were interesting to me, and figuring out, is it going to be possible to be a psychologist and get this degree? Despite, you know, some of the obstacles and, having low vision. And, you know, what I've learned over the years is that it was possible. And I think school has been a struggle and work has been a struggle at times. But I think, you know, my overall message has been that what's helped me the most is having supportive people in my life and having family members that believed I could do it, having friends that believed it was possible, and having mentors at school who thought I could do it and were supportive of me and realized, hey, you know, you're able to do this, you're just differently abled. And that became, like, the mantra for me throughout the years, is just, okay, we're going to do this. And no matter what it was, whether it was school, work, relationships with people, getting places I needed to get to, okay, we're going to do it. We're just going to have to do it in a different way. And so I think that's been really my story throughout this period, has been, we're going to do things in a different way, but we're going to get them done. And that's what I'll tell myself sometimes. And sometimes people will say, you know, you probably shouldn't do that. I had advisors telling me you shouldn't go for your master's degree in Boston. It's too big of a city. You won't be able to figure it out. And that made me realize, okay, we're going to do that. We're going to figure out a way to do it, John. And sure enough, I did. And so I think it's okay to stumble and to fall, and I've done quite a bit of that too. It hasn't all been perfect, but I think it's been a great experience for me to connect with people and to meet people that have this too, and to meet people that are struggling with different things in their life. And last thing I would say to just close out is that I don't think anything happens by accident. It didn't for me. And, you know, right now I'm working at UCSD, completing this postdoctoral fellowship. I recently completed my degree. And is it a coincidence that the one area of psychology I went into was working with college students when I lost my vision while I was in college and dealing with any life transitions of my own? And is it a coincidence that my research specialization is in disability issues, and I'm really passionate about that? It's not a coincidence. So I think, you know, LHON has given me a lot of things in life to be very, upset about it and not happy about it and frustrated with. But at the same time, I think LHON has given me a path in life in a certain way, in terms of, you know, what am I going to do with research, and what am I going to do with employment, and what are the kind of people I want to work with? I want to work with people who are struggling too, and I want to connect with people who also have a story, just like all of us do that are on this phone call right now. And I think that's something that LHON has actually given me. That's one of the positives. And so I would just close out there by saying, sort of like Maria said, we're going to be positive on the call as well, and I think that's probably the positive message for me, is just that there are a lot of them. So thank you guys for listening to all of that.
Hello. Well, thank you, Jonathan. And I just want to mention one more time for anyone who got on the call late, if you could *6 so you mute yourself so we don't hear any background noise. And then when you want to speak, you press *7 and you'll unmute yourself. but that's just to keep the call, you know, without a lot of background noise. So, John, thank you so much for talking, and we're going to open the call up in a minute for any questions and things like that. But, John, I wanted to ask you, you know, you said you were interested in psychology. Are you going to be specializing, you know, you said to people with disabilities, are you going to be specializing in any specific area of psychology or just or gearing yourself towards people with disabilities? What is your plan?
Yeah, right now I'm my degree is in counseling psychology, so I sort of look at people from where they're at and from a developmental perspective, and so my specialization is going to be working with college students, and I think that's just an exciting time of life because you're figuring out who you are in young adulthood and what you want to do with your life. And I think for those of us with LHON and with a quote-unquote disability, that's something we're figuring out on an almost daily basis. And so I feel like that's something that's very relatable for me to bring into my work.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, since tonight we'll be talking about, you know, creating opportunities for yourself, have you created any opportunities over ECSD that you're excited about or in the fellowship that you're doing?
Yeah, you know, obviously this was a postdoctoral fellowship. I'm getting my hours so I can get my license as a psychologist by June or July. And that's something, this is a position I applied for and I decided I was going to pursue. But at the same time, there are things I've been able to sort of make my own while at this position. So, for example, there's never been a support group at the University of California, San Diego for students that have physical disabilities. And so this year I'm doing a chronic health and illness group where it's just a support group where students can sort of talk and process what their experience has been like of having a disability and trying to get through academics. And so, yeah, being able to bring new things to the university, I think I've been able to do that this year, and that's one example of that.
That's great. You know, that's really important, too. I'm surprised they didn't have a support group for that, but that's awesome that you're able to do that because you know, as we all know, talking with others who have disabilities, be it LHON or maybe another eye disease, they understand, and we support each other the best. And also, if you have a counselor or a therapist that is in that deals with disabilities, they understand you the best. You know, a general, I've heard from other people, general psychologists, they sometimes just don't get it. So, having somebody like you over there, they must really be appreciative of that. And you've said that you could possibly apply to actually work at the school after you get your license, or what is your plan after school?
I'm planning to work at a college or university setting and see what positions are going to be open across the country. But, you know, there is a position at UCSD, so that's a possibility. This is around the time of year where positions start becoming available and they start posting them. So I'm really open to going wherever there's a good opportunity for me, but if that opportunity happens to remain here in San Diego, then that's definitely a possibility, yes.
Well, I think you had said somewhere along the way that this was your first time on the West Coast, and from your Facebook post, I think you're kind of digging it.
It's a beautiful place. It really is.
Yeah, it is. I'm very lucky to live here along with some of our other LHON family. The Poinsettias also live here. Well, thank you so much, John. And at this time, I want to open it up to you, the callers, and ask if you have any questions for John or if anybody would like to start out and letting us know maybe some big plans or goal that they've had in the back of their mind and that you possibly want to put out there to the world that you want to try and tackle this year. So I'm opening it up to you, the callers, anybody out there.
May I make a comment to John, please?
Sure. Who's this, Wayne?
No, I hope you take this call because I'm on the East Coast. I'm not cool. I'm on the West Coast. But anyway, as you said, you're digging it out there. But this is Dave from Pennsylvania, and I just want to say that I really respect you creating that group at the university, John. my sister's probably on the line, and I give her a hard time, like I didn't have time to call up, and you know what I mean? I'm just too bullheaded, and I find this is the second time I called. I just got home from work. I made the time to make the call, and I find it fascinating because I can really relate to John's story about the age when he had this affliction, John, the story about the doctor and the bedside manner, and you know, I think it's really critical for that age group, you know, that you address that kids in adversity. I have a lot of respect for you for doing that because I think if I would have had that back then, it would have saved me a lot of mistakes in my life. But my question to you, John, is how did you make that transition and stay in school? Like, how did you keep that seamless? You said you had eyesight, and then, you know, while you were in school, you kind of kept, you know, the motion going. Can you explain how that happened? You know what I mean, John?
I do, and thank
you. Like, while you were in school, like, how you just, like, you didn't, like, take a semester off and just start over, and, like, anyway.
Yeah, that's a great question, actually. And to be honest with you, I think, you know, hindsight is 20/20, and I probably should have taken a semester off, actually, just to adjust and see where I was at. I went straight through, and I didn't stop, and that actually caused my GPA in school to plummet. I had a decent GPA. My GPA went all the way down to a 1.7, which, for those of you that know, that's almost on the verge of getting removed from a university. And, you know, I think it took me two semesters to adjust and really get my grades up. And one of the things that helped me most was the disability office on campus stating, you know, it's okay if it takes another year or 2 years, but you should maybe take one less class each semester. And if you have to make that class up in the summer or at another time or do it online, just maybe it'll make it a little bit easier for you. And I think that helped was, you know, number one, lowering the course load, and number two, just getting used to doing things differently and realizing, okay, I can't just pretend like everything's fine because then I'm going to fail my classes, which is what's happening here. And so while my GPA was really high during my PhD program and my master's program, and I'm very happy about that, I'm more proud of the fact that I graduated college with a 2.7 because I managed to get it up one whole point from the 1.7 that it fell down to when I got LHON. And I think that was really about, you know, managing my time, realizing that maybe I need to take less classes at first, and, you know, recognizing that it's okay to ask for help. You know, I would, yes, I'm, you know, the university was doing things broadly for me, like having me take tests in a different room and giving me double time in the disability office where I could take the exams. But I think just also doing things on an individual level and forming relationships with my professors and saying to them, hey, this is what's going on with me. Can we work one-on-one on something here? And having the professors fully understand what was going on and having those conversations with them. And I think that has sort of transitioned into the workplace and being able to have those kind of open dialogues with bosses and supervisors.
Do you have any functional psych, John?
Do I have any what?
Functional psych?
Yes, that's a good question. I'm at 2,800 in both eyes, numbers-wise, and I have absolutely no vision in the center. It's completely blurred. I see sort of just colored dots in the center of my vision, and then I still have peripheral vision. I'm sort of the classic case, I guess they would call it.
Okay.
John, is your peripheral pretty clear, or is that a little blurry or, you know, clouded out?
It's definitely a little blurry, and I, you know, it doesn't help me in terms of getting anywhere unless I've already been somewhere before and have sort of landmarked my route to that location. It doesn't help me get around very well. It helps me avoid bumping into things, which is a plus. But, you know, with depth perception, it still makes it difficult going downstairs or going down things, whereas going up things, like going up a set of stairs, isn't a problem.
Right. That's great. Well, really good, Dave. Really good question. Anybody else?
Can I ask? I want to give other people the opportunity. Can I ask one real quick question, though, please?
Yeah.
John, you were adopted. The reason I'm asking this is I was at work a couple years ago. I work in Pennsylvania, and I thought nobody. This is the vacuum I live in that I'm coming out of. But I thought nobody even had this disease. And there was a chemist in my building that was from the New England area. I don't know if he was from New York or Connecticut, but he had an adopted brother. He asked me what I had, and he said that his brother was adopted. He had this disease. Do you have any brothers?
I do. I found, actually, through this whole process, and this is a story for another day, obviously, but I found my biological family, and I've met them. And while I grew up here as an only child in the home I grew up in, I have three biological brothers and a sister. So not the same person that
yep.
you probably met.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Is there anybody else who has a question for John or would like to just put out there some of your ideas or plans for the coming year?
Yeah, I'd like to speak, Maria.
Okay, go ahead. This is Jack.
Yeah, hello, guys. My name
okay.
is Jack Chirrup. I'm from Australia. I'm from Melbourne, so a bit of a way away I am. But, so I just graduated this year, did a commerce degree, did a marketing major, which was great. So I've been working at the university now for 3 months and thoroughly enjoy it. But it's one of those things in life, I think, with LOHN, is that you don't know how good your adaptive technology skills are until you have to use in the workplace. So that's one of my biggest goals this year is to really sharpen up on my jaws, my screen reading ability, using an iPad, like just improving it to make myself better. Because I think everyone else can understand that there's no reason why everyone can work in life because you just got to master your skills in technology. And if you can do that, then there's no reason why they can't employ you. So that's one of my biggest goals. And obviously my other goal is actually trying to get a girlfriend this year. So.
Amen. Amen.
good to have goals there, Jack.
Yeah, so hopefully you'll see. I'd love to get to America this year to come for the conference in July or June.
Yeah.
That would
yeah.
be fantastic. So, that's good over here. So, yeah, and then we'll just see what
yeah.
happens. But just try to, yeah, obviously just keep working it with technology because I believe that's
yeah.
just the key, I think, to success, I think. So, yeah.
Well, that's great, Jack. That's awesome. And I'm sure everyone on the call couldn't agree with you more that learning technology is never ending. There's always something new. There's always a new way, an update or something. And it takes some longer than others, but we all just keep plugging away. And
yeah.
a quick little side note, he brought up the conference. As you all know, there is going to be a conference this June 2015, I believe, the week of June 17th. I think the 17th is a Wednesday, and that is the LHON conference day that is umbrellaed under the UMDF conference. It's going to be out in Washington, D.C. area, and I'm sure Lissa will be posting much more information on that, but we had a great group last year, and we want even more people to attend this year because it's really, really a great experience. And if you can do anything to make plans now to save your pennies and dimes and nickels and make it happen to get to the conference, I just don't have enough good things to say about what it did for me when I went last year and the others and the relationships that I've built just from being at that conference, along with, of course, all the information that we got from the conference. So, anyway, a little plug right there. I'm sure Lissa will be posting more and more information as the months go by. All right. Anybody else would like to speak up? We'd love to hear from somebody.
Can I butt in, please?
Yes.
The conference, how many days does that run over?
Is Lissa on the phone?
Sorry.
Yeah, I'm here. The actual conference is just on Wednesday the 17th, and then Jessica and Maria et al. Are going to look into whatever social activities we want to add around it. Last year we just sort of had an optional opening gathering the day before, so we'll certainly do that. And then for folks who are in the U.S., if you want to, the UMDF, United Mitochondrial Disease Foundation, On Thursday, the 18th, they do something called Day on the Hill, where they get all the folks in the mitochondrial community to visit with their senators and congressmen and talk about the importance of funding for mitochondrial disease. And so that's happening on the 18th. And so that's why we're having our conference on the 17th, so people can do that if they want to. Some people want to go to the main UMDS conference on the 19th, 20th, but usually that's only folks that maybe have LHON plus, sort of the more standard mito diseases. So that's a long answer to a real simple question. The simple question is the actual event is the 17th, and then yet to be determined is how many social activities Maria and Jessica and company are going to propose before or after. I don't know about that part yet. I hope to have all that worked out by the end of this month, and we'll share that with, you know, with the world.
Because, yeah, like Jack was saying, I'd have to get in advance and plan it because I've got to come from Australia too, so that'd be something.
Oh, that's great. Around. Yeah, yeah. Well, we, like Alyssa said, we are definitely working on it right now, and as soon as some info's out and you guys can make plans coming from faraway lands, you know, you definitely love to have as many people as possible attend. So any other questions or throw out some big plans for the year, anybody?
I had kind of a question for John.
Okay.
This is Cameron McIntosh from Illinois in the United States. And,
hi, Cameron.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, good.
And basically my question is, John has always been insightful to me and one of my good buddies, but I was wondering for him if he could explain to everyone kind of the difference between making plans and goals and the difference of, okay, before people lost their vision and kind of after, and how things should kind of change and what shouldn't change in their goals, because obviously there's been a change in all of our lives. So,
John?
That's a really good question. I think one of the things is, and you know, I'm not sure if this necessarily means that it's only for people that have lost vision. Maybe it's a good goal for everyone to have, whether we do it or not, is realize that maybe there's goals within the goals, and that there's achievements before you actually reach the goal. And so, you know, for me, my goal for this year might be, you know, I want to get a full-time job. That might be my goal. Well, it is my goal, not might be. But what's it going to take to do that? Because I know for me, having LHON, it's exhausting to have to deal with Microsoft Word and formatting a resume and dealing with the spacing issues and typing something in and then it disappears. And so maybe my goal for this month is going to be to make sure that I get that, at least that done. And then maybe my goal for March is to send out a couple applications. And so I think for me it's about steps. And so, you know, because things take longer and they're harder. It doesn't mean they can't get done, but it's okay to recognize that they are more difficult sometimes. And I think for me, sometimes the goals are, what are the small goals before I actually get to the, in this case, the actual submission of the job application? Or finally getting that job maybe towards the halfway point or the end of the year. And so what are the goals that are going to happen before then? What are the steps that need to be taken? And so I think post-LHON diagnosis, I would say that was how goals and goal setting changed for me, is that realizing that it's not just having one big overarching goal. It's also realizing that there's a process to get there and that that's okay.
Yeah. Good answer. Good answer. Cameron, does that kind of answer what you wanted?
Oh, I wasn't looking for an answer what I wanted. I know John is just a very insightful person,
right.
And I know that he would give great advice to me and everyone on something like that.
Absolutely.
Because
I
think everyone
he covered
at some point,
what you asked. Yeah.
Yeah, well, everyone in their life, I think, after this happens, you look at your life prior to vision loss, and you compare yourself to after your vision loss, and that's probably one of the hardest things that you have to deal with, because, you know, if you can't drive around and do some of the things that, you know, you're not allowed to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, good. Well, John, that was that was great advice, and I think you're right. Goals, big goals, but what is your smaller goals? What are your plans to get to that goal? And breaking it down into smaller steps, can make you feel very accomplished and not overwhelmed as you get to that goal. And anybody who wants to maybe go back to school or, you know, start to volunteer, it starts with the smaller steps. Make that phone call. Make the contact, network. And just if you make that phone call one day and you find out what's the next step, that you've completed step one of the goal. So is anybody else out there that would like to speak up on maybe, again, what their bigger plan is, but, you know, maybe what's the first step that you might take that would get you there?
Hi, this is Mike McRae. I'm from St. Louis.
Hi, Mike.
Hold on 1 second. I'll be back in 1 minute.
Okay. Anybody else until Mike comes back?
Hi. My name is Carol Dater. Surprise. I just want to say that, Cameron, you are my hero. Jonathan, you are my hero. Jeremy, I know you're not there, but Lissa, you're there. You are all heroes. And when you talk about goals, you are people who have made goals and have achieved your goal. And I think you are a great help to these people on the line saying, you know what, you have a disability, but you can pass, you go beyond your disability. Don't be scared by saying, I can't do something, because you people are like the little engine that could. I think I can, I think I can, and I think you did, and that's all I have to say.
Oh, that's great. Oh, thank you for speaking up. I take it you're John's mom.
Absolutely.
I
was not going to open my big mouth tonight. So.
Oh, that's great. I'm so glad you joined us. Absolutely. And, there are definitely people who have been in this community much longer than myself, or even Jessica and Andy, who have just been a complete inspiration to many of us because they've achieved so many things and carried on with their life from a young age and have kept going in their life at, you know, for many, many years. So I couldn't agree with her more, definitely. So is Mike back?
Yeah, sorry about that.
Oh, no, that's all right.
Kid was yelling for something.
Uh-huh.
I was going to say about accomplishing goals, I think no matter what your pace at achieving your goal is, I think as long as you keep moving forward, eventually it'll happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm a software developer. I need to keep up with technology, and I need... There's always something else that I have to learn, and it's just never enough time to really keep up, it seems like. But I always read a little bit every day and just try to keep moving forward. And
mm-hmm.
if you don't do something every day, time can just escape from you.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Doing a little something every day to get you where you want to go. And that's a good little piece of advice. That's a good little nugget even right there. You said you read something every day. Do you, is it have something to do with technology or just, could it just be, is it related to your field?
Yeah, I read, different things at different times, but mostly right now I'm focusing on some technologies that are new. So I'm a lot of web development books,
mm-hmm.
some new technologies that I need to know for a project. I'm working on a side project at work, so that's kind of a goal this year also. I'm partnering with someone who has started and other people have come and gone, so it's just me and him right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's in my spare time, so it's just really hard to feel like I'm ever going to get there.
Yeah.
But I just keep going. Eventually, you will solve the problems that you can't figure out, and then just wish it would take less time sometimes, but I don't really think about how long it takes. It's just, it takes as long as it takes.
Great. Another good piece of advice as well.
I went to college in the normal amount of time. My Lieber's was came on between my sophomore and junior year in high school.
Mm.
I've actually recently gone to a doctor.
You've been affected for how long, Mike, then?
So 33 years.
Okay.
When I was diagnosed, it was more than 6 months between the time they tried to figure out what it was and came up with the diagnosis. I've recently gone to a doctor who wanted to know what the full proof was that I was LHON. And I only went to the doctor because I never was genetically tested. So I just thought, well, maybe I'll learn something new because I've learned that there is that test now. But my vision has been stable. It's about 2400. And after the first couple of years, the peripheral vision slightly improved. So it's mostly normal, only loss in the central part. But pretty much stable for the whole time. So I haven't really gone back to doctors very often.
Right.
I'm on the list.
Are you having the genetic test? So you are having the genetic test done?
I'm in the process of going back to the doctor, and she'll figure out the right kind of test.
Oh, okay.
There's only, I mean, because there's more than one out there.
Yes, yes.
But I don't know how long, how many, what is the experience with other people on the call in terms of how long it takes to be diagnosed? Now,
hey, Mike, can I
faster.
Tell you something quick before you get into that? I just want to tell you, your Mrs. Dater said about all that stuff with the people on this call, and you're definitely lumped in that group. And the thing, just like you said with the goals, is especially with the disease, you just keep going, you keep plugging away, you take these baby steps like you finished college in the normal amount of time, 4 years, but then you got to stop and look back and just think about like all the amazing things that you've done in your life, too, in this time span. So even though you keep plugging away and stuff, I think it's important to kind of look back and reflect, because when you look at it, how many people could do, I can't do any software development type stuff, and you could do it legally blind. I'm not pitying you, but, I mean, it's just amazing, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, a story from my first job and after college, I wrote the graphics software for my department, for my group that I was in, and they would go to conferences and they say, well, we have our blind guy do our graphics.
Wow.
The genetic testing usually takes about 3 months to get back, but unless they get it some speedy somehow. But
yeah, well, mine took 6 weeks just recently.
Yeah.
They told me it'd take between 2 and 3 months, but it'd come back in 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Mine took 21 days.
The doctor said my story of onset was not as consistent with what she thought it was supposed to be for LHON, which was I was in a summer school class and I had to do a lot of reading, and it just seemed to get harder and harder, and I'm going back 33 years. I don't really remember the details of the vision changing. I remember sort of I rode my bike to school, and sort of that was a little bit challenging. And eventually it wasn't really that long. It was a couple of weeks maybe, but it's really hard to narrow down the exact, my perception of the difference in my vision. She thought most people can tell when it's coming on. I could tell eventually, but it seemed blurry, and then eventually I couldn't take a test.
Yeah.
Which I didn't, but doctors back then thought I was having a brain tumor or something.
Mm-hmm.
They thought it was psychosomatic. I was making it up.
Well, it sounds like you've done incredibly well over the last 30 years when not a whole lot was out there, I know, for you 30-plus years ago. And I really want to appreciate you speaking up, Mike, and telling us a little bit about what you do and giving us your little nuggets of information that we can surely take away from this call. And I want to thank everyone else, Cameron and Jack and some of the other people that have spoken up tonight. We're getting close to that 6 o'clock hour here, well, I say West Coast, and we don't like to go too much over because we know everyone's time is valuable and it gets late in other places. And I wanted to also mention that if you have any topic ideas or would like to be a guest speaker on our call, please email us at lhonlive, all one word, at gmail.com. And we'd like to hear any suggestions or comments or anything you might want to bring up on an email. Facebook, you know, it's kind of hit or miss. You know, there's always a lot going on our on the public page. So, you know, sometimes those things, they get lost. But it's a direct email that we're checking all the time, is the lhonlive at gmail.com. And I really, really wish everyone the best of luck this year, as well as Jessica and Andy, on anything that you are hoping to accomplish this year. We, of course, will be accomplishing this call once a month. It's the first Wednesday of every month, and I think we've gotten down the all the phone numbers and the access codes this time, and we will absolutely repost those things every month. And we're, you know, as you might have noticed, we're trying to promote the call more so that we remind everybody and we don't forget to call in. And again, I do encourage you to let us know any feedback on that lhonlive at gmail.com. We usually end with a tip, a blind tip, that we want to leave with everybody. And I'm not sure if Jessica and Andy, do you happen to have anything handy on that? Because we
can I say a thank you real quick?
Sure.
This is Sue in Maine. I want to thank Wayne Daniels because he put out an event reminder.
Thank you.
To a bunch of people.
Yeah.
I've been busy with my new house and everything, and he put out and sent me an event reminder and sent one to a bunch of other people I know. And thank you, Wayne.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks for doing that, Wayne.
Can I cut in real quick?
Maria?
Yes. Yeah. This is Noah in Virginia. This is the first conference call that I've actually participated in. I finally just got around to it. Anyway, thanks to Sue for sending me the access code.
Anyway, you're welcome.
The only thing I wanted to say real quick was I will be I'm enrolling in school to get a master's this year. And, like, I already, when I went to college, and then, you know, I was fully excited, you know, so, you know, the learning to master the classroom from a different, you know, angle than I previously had experienced, so I'll be, and you know, I was always a visual learner, you know, so I'll be trying to, you know, be one of my goals, learning how to master the classroom from a more auditory perspective, maybe.
All right, good for you, Noah. That's a great, great plan and a good goal, and I'm sure there's a lot of little steps along the way that's going to get you there, and you know you have a lot of support in this community by with people who have been back to school and have completed school that can certainly give you any advice along the way as far as how they did it. So thanks for speaking up, Noah. And Wayne, did you have something you wanted to say?
No.
Okay.
Really.
Maria?
Okay. Yes.
It's Chris in Pennsylvania. I'd just like to take 2 minutes to, because this might inspire somebody else. My resolution, I got LHON after I retired, and I at age 62, and my resolution this year is, since I can't drive and I'm retired and I'm at home most of the time, I sit at home most of the time, I decided to get low vision mobility training and from the state of Pennsylvania. So I'm going to get my butt out of the house and learn to walk around. They're going to teach me how to walk around the neighborhood safely, and I'm going to get some exercise for a change, get out in the fresh air, and that's my resolution.
Well, no, that's awesome, Chris.
I love
it. Wait for the summer. Wait for the summer.
I know. I know. But seriously, don't go out now. No, I good
yeah,
for
free,
you, Chris.
We're freezing.
It's 10 degrees. I'm not doing it now, but, well, I won't tell you how what the weather's like in San Diego.
No.
but maybe it might motivate some other people to do that too. Absolutely.
Maria, on the subject of the cold and exercise, this is Lisa in San Diego. Can I pop in real quick and say that Lisa McGregor, she wasn't able to be on the call, but she did ask me if I would speak for her and let everyone know that she's in Winnipeg, Canada, but I guess she calls it Winterpeg because it's so cold. And she's at her son's hockey game tonight and was, again, sorry she couldn't be on the call, but she wanted the group to know that she really appreciates the friendship and the support that she gets from this community, and her goals and perhaps her challenges are to get better in shape, and she notes to remember it's time to take care of herself now, to get some help with her computer and Windows 8.1, and she said she's going to get started on that next week. She needs some luck wished her way, and she wants to maybe take in a page out of Jessica's playbook. She's going to host her very own Dining in the Dark for some close friends at her home in the next few months, and she said she'll be cooking and leading the dinner while everyone sits with blindfolds on and wishes she could see that. So I just wanted to pass on that from Lisa McGregor. And also she just wanted to say thank you to Andy, Maria, and Jessica for setting up this event each month. She thinks it's wonderful and an amazing way to connect with people around the world.
Oh, well, thank you for reading that for her. That's really nice. Really nice.
Yes. No, but we appreciate it. And I just have to say that I think Lisa may be cheating a little bit by cooking for everyone when she's already mastered that very obviously after our call a few months ago.
Yeah.
I know you asked about a tip, Maria, and I'm not going to say I rehearsed a tip by any means, but I think everyone here has shared some great tips this evening, whether they be little things about how getting in a routine is a great hobby or great goal for anyone, but certainly for us. But in addition to that, I mean, just what John had to say about keep moving forward, I actually have a sign on my wall because that's something Walt Disney used to always say, and that's a little plug for my company there. But he always said keep moving forward, and I think it's really important in our case where some of these goals seem a little out of reach. But if you look at it a different way, there's always something attainable that you can reach this month, that you can reach this week. And then if you just break it down into short attainable ways or short attainable steps, that you can certainly get there. And I know that's not a very technical tip the way we normally share, but I think it's super useful to me, and it's been really helpful to hear the same message from everyone else.
Yeah, that's very good point, Andy, and I agree with you totally that a lot has been said. And I know we're hitting the 6 o'clock hour, and thanks for everyone, again, who has spoken up tonight. We've heard some new voices. And that's exciting, and we want to build this call to be a really big group who, and many people joining in every month. And I'm going to leave tonight with a little quote. You know, I'm totally into this whole quotey motivational stuff. And the quote that I heard the other day that I thought was maybe going to be a little appropriate for tonight is, success is sweet and sweeter if long delayed and gotten through many struggles and defeats. And that's by Amos Alcott. And I think that's very true. The more challenging, the sweeter the success. So I wish everybody tons and tons of luck for the year of 2015, and a big, big, big thank you to everybody who called in tonight, and we will be back on in February, and of course, we will be posting it like mad, and we will definitely be carrying on with the event, since that seems to be something people wanted us to create every month, and we will certainly do that. So thank you, everybody, and have a great evening.
Thanks, Maria.
Thank you,
guys.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Andy. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.